Some of us have flown into Chicago today by plane. Some of us have flown into this auditorium tonight on automatic control. All of us knew that civilization in transition began at 8 o'clock, and however torn we were by responsibilities in our offices and homes, we transported our bodies to this place at this time. Our souls, on the other hand, move more slowly. Most of them are probably still in transition, and our bodies, as a result, are somewhat empty, somewhat heavy and dark, yearning for the time to sleep, to dream, for the time of reunion with the soul. Tomorrow, if our souls do take up residence in our bodies, we will be confident, present, full of light. I say if rather than when, because the culture we are living in does not foster embodiment. Reason usurps feeling, head splits from heart, light is lost in matter. Technology speeds ahead and drags us along. Our hi-fi sets are out of date within a year. Our computers offer mind-boggling possibilities. Electronic telescopes pierce further into the immensity of the galaxies. Electronic microscopes plunge deeper into the immensity of the minuscule. Staggered by the possibilities of technology, fully aware of the possibility of annihilation, where is the undivided soul in all this immensity? Body is that portion of soul perceived by the five senses, says William Blake. Through the orifices of our body, our soul communicates with the outer world and grows through constant interchange. But what does the soul receive from our culture? A bombardment of noise through the ears, poison fumes through the nose, concrete and chaos through the eyes, and God only knows what through the mouth, anus, and genitalia. The result is inner starvation and outer frenzy. For all the media's emphasis on the body beautiful, so long as the body is experienced as a splendid machine or a handsome object to be manipulated, it is empty, dense, obtuse. Individuals remain haunted by their refusal, conscious or unconscious, to permit their souls to take up residence in their bodies. The result is that, without understanding what they are feeling or why they are feeling it, they are possessed by homeless souls who wander like ghosts in a twilight zone without shelter or rest. They are haunted by their own souls crying in vain to be let in. Refusing them entrance into their own bodies, such people become the enemies of their souls. They unconsciously realize that they have sentenced their souls to perpetual exile. Therefore, they find no real satisfaction in other outlets, however creative, that the soul in exile from the body finds for itself. Temporary release from despair through immersion in work leaves them, when the work is done, in even deeper states of despair. Addicts, and who of us is not an addict, run as fast as possible away from the unbearable weight of meaninglessness, towards whatever light we have set up as God or Goddess in our life. That concretized divinity may be matter in food, punning on the Latin mother, spirit in alcohol, purpose in work, power in money, union in sexuality, femininity in fashion, masculinity in motorcycles, perhaps even progress in Jungian analysis. Whatever those false gods are, they do not feed the soul. So long as we are running, we are not in harmony with the rhythms of the body. Sooner or later, if we are to be whole, we have to move into those rhythms and allow ourselves to experience the anguish of the musculature that has been forced for so long to carry the burden of this unnatural behavior in which the body's real needs as the home of the soul are ignored. It is not uncommon in my practice for analysands who have been in analysis for 3 or 4 years, whose souls for the first time are moving into their bodies, to suddenly break into rage. "I wish I had never come into analysis," they say. "I cannot endure the pain in my body. My heart feels like a furnace. I think I have a hiatus hernia. I cannot stomach anything. I go from diarrhea to constipation. I hate TV. I think of all the starving people in Africa. I told you I never wanted to be on this earth. Don't want to be here now." Then they must make the age-old choice. Either move in to suffer the slings and arrows of outrageous fortune, or to take arms against a sea of troubles, and by opposing, end them. Either take up the weight of darkness, or move out into what they imagine is light. Trapped in a love-hate relationship with matter, they abhor the heaviness of being human. At the same time, they know that living in spirit is not living. Until they endure the opposites, their soul is not in the fire.